for worship today.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this second Sunday of Christmas. Welcome to all of you who are watching this at home as well. I'm Pastor Nate Wallenberg. This is Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. We are so glad that you're here. I should also say Happy New Year, since this is the first Sunday service that we're having in 2021. And Merry Christmas, because this is the 10th day of Christmas. Even though the world has already put Christmas away for a whole nother year, we still celebrate the birth of the Christ child. And it makes sense that we do things differently from everybody else. In fact, that's really going to be the theme of the service today. The wisdom of God is so much different from the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of God is revealed in a little child born for you and for me. And we certainly give thanks for that. In our service today, we will follow Divine Service Setting 1. And it's all printed for you there in the bulletin. We begin with the invocation, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our service now with the introit. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord be with you.
Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. Almighty God, you have poured into our hearts the true light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light may shine forth in our lives through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the second Sunday after Christmas is from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, beginning with verse 4. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak now the words of the gradual. To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Sing to the Lord a new song. The epistle is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. And the child Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, but then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. And this morning we use the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is "God of Grace and God of Glory." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the Old Testament reading, 1 Kings chapter 3. This is a pretty familiar passage where we see that Solomon has a dream. The Lord says that he can ask for anything that he wants from God, and of course Solomon chooses a wise and discerning mind. And then from that point forward, the wisdom of Solomon becomes somewhat of a legendary thing among God's people. And I think all of us know that God's wisdom often looks like foolishness to the rest of the world. And so for us, we want to cling to that divine wisdom shown to us by faith in Jesus Christ each and every single day. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a big difference between wisdom and knowledge, right? Anybody can acquire a lot of knowledge, a lot of facts and figures, kind of do a lot of research and cram it all into your brain. Anybody can do that, but especially, you know, in these days where almost the answer to everything you would ever want to know is just a simple Google search away. You can fit a lot in your head, but wisdom is different. Because wisdom involves, in many cases, experience. Right? Wisdom involves maturity. It involves taking all of this stuff, this knowledge that's in your head, but figuring out how you're going to apply it in a right way to real life situations. Sometimes we describe this as the difference between book smarts and street smarts, right? And whenever this comes up, it always makes me think back to that famous cartoon drawn by Gary Larson, The Far Side. Some of you, I'm sure, have seen this one particular cartoon. It's a very simple one. There's a building and there's a sign that says Midvale School for the Gifted. And the sign on the door says pull. And there's a door handle there, but there's one of these gifted students who's clearly trying to get in by pushing. He's leaning up against the door that way. Right? So not so gifted after all, right? So if the question was, how do you get into a school like that? How do you get into this gifted school? Knowledge would say, well, you just need to work hard, study, get good grades. But wisdom says, if you want to get into the school, you got to pull the door that says pull. That's how you actually get into the building, right? Now, as we have kind of rocketed into the 21st century here at Trinity Lutheran Church over these last few months with all of this newfangled technology that we've been using, that we've been blessed with during the last year or so. Wayne Grody and I have been kind of joking around about how, you know, when we come up to problems that pop up, we have to troubleshoot things from time to time, and when we get stuck on something, the joke is we should probably go and find some 12-year-old on YouTube who can teach us what to do. Right? Because for people that grow up with this kind of knowledge, with people who have, you know, a tablet in their hands at 2 years old or younger, right? They just naturally know how to fix technological problems. They can run circles around the rest of us grown-ups. And I'm someone who grew up with technology. I grew up with the internet. But when I was 12, it was dial-up, right? So there's still a lot of things that are happening today in that world that don't come to me naturally like they would to someone who is younger. So that's knowledge. But I guarantee you, if you took that same 12-year-old and you sat them down on the board of elders and you said, okay, now you're responsible for navigating this congregation through a global pandemic and serving our people, I guarantee you, in most cases, that wouldn't turn out nearly as well. And it's because it takes more than just knowledge of how to run a live stream, right? It takes wisdom. It takes experience to be able to actually navigate some of these difficult things. I'm really, really thankful for the 6 wise men that we have on our board of elders who have been helping me out quite a bit over this last year. Now, if we're talking about wisdom, and we want to have a biblical poster child for wisdom, we have one Bible character that stands out among all the others when we associate with the word wisdom, it would have to be King Solomon, right? And so much of the scriptures that are called wisdom books in the Old Testament, so books like Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and even a lot of the Psalms, right? So much of these things were written by Solomon himself. And so most likely this is the way that you were taught about who Solomon was. Maybe you think back to your Sunday school lessons, right? We usually call Solomon something like Wise King Solomon, something like that. And so it's here in this Old Testament reading today, in 1 Kings chapter 3, where we get to actually see where that wisdom came from. Solomon wasn't the wisest king because, you know, he somehow had more experience than everybody else, or because he had a lot of mistakes in his past that he could learn from, or because he was just more mature than everybody else. Solomon's wisdom came to him specifically as a gift from God. In fact, it was this gift that Solomon asked for in his dream because subconsciously he knew that he didn't have enough wisdom for the task ahead. He didn't have enough wisdom already to lead God's people, to lead the children of Israel. This whole thing in 1 Kings 3 takes place in the very earliest days of Solomon's reign as king. He had just been made king. And so we don't know exactly how old he was at the time. The Bible doesn't actually tell us that, but we have some educated guesses. We think maybe he was around 20 years old. He might have still been a teenager at this time. So he was a pretty young king, right? And of course, it was Solomon's father, David, who had been such a successful king for 40 years, and for the most part, a pretty faithful king too. So Solomon, being raised in the royal palace, he had seen his father's reign with his own two eyes. He knew that he had big shoes to fill, and he knew what prosperity looked like. He knew what God's blessings looked like. He knew what a strong kingdom with a strong army looked like. And by his own admission, he didn't think that he had enough wisdom to keep that all going. So it was clearly causing him a little bit of stress. It was a little intimidating to him at the time. And you see that in the way that he answers God in this dream. So God comes to him basically with a blank check, right? Almost like a genie in a bottle. He says, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon, part of his answer, if you look at verse 7, part of his answer is to say, "O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in." They must not have had push and pull signs on the doors back then. He says, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" And God grants Solomon's request, because it didn't come from a place of greed. It didn't come because he was thirsty for power or fame or any of those things. This was a faithful request that was asked out of genuine love and concern for God's people. And so from that moment forward, this young king has wisdom beyond his years, right? The kind of wisdom that normally it would take decades of experience to acquire. Now, those of you who know your history of Israel, you probably know that Solomon's wisdom didn't always seem so wise, especially toward the end of his reign when he became an older man. He did some things that were less than wise. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that he had about 1,000 different women that he was married to, all these wives and concubines that he had. A lot of them were foreigners that worshipped foreign gods. And so Solomon actually, toward the end of his life, started to turn away from Yahweh. He started building altars to foreign gods. He started worshiping foreign gods, trying to please all of these different wives that he had. So this is where we see there's actually a difference, not just between wisdom and knowledge, but there's also a huge difference between human wisdom and divine wisdom. Because human wisdom would look at Solomon's situation and actually praise him. Praise him for being so diplomatic as a king. Say, what a great idea it is to enter into all of these different marriage alliances with all of these foreign kings and powers all around you. How great it is to build pagan altars so that you can show how open-minded and inclusive you are and become friends with everybody so that you'll continue to have peace in your own kingdom. That's what human wisdom would say. But divine wisdom knows a whole lot better than that. Divine wisdom knows that what Solomon did actually was harmful to his own soul. In fact, we don't know because we're not God, but there's actually a question whether or not Solomon still had faith at the time that he passed away. If you read 1 Kings chapter 11, the end of Solomon's life, there's a lot of unanswered questions there about whether or not Solomon still believed. And so it's only the Lord who knows whether or not he repented and came back to faith at the end of his life. Now, I don't want to sound really dramatic or overly dramatic here, but I do think that there is somewhat of a warning here in all of this that does apply to all of us. Because as Lutheran Christians, we are really thankful for this divine wisdom that has come to us, handed down to us from the Lord and from generation to generation, so that we understand things like the difference between God's law and his gospel. We understand and believe that we can have certainty of our salvation because it's not based on our works, but it's only based on the mercy and grace of Jesus and nothing else. And many of us have known and believed these things since the time we were really, really small, right? You're baptized and brought up in the church or in the school, and you had Sunday school classes and confirmation classes. And little did you know that even as a child, you had divine wisdom given to you that goes beyond your years. Little did you know that, because really that's what we all receive as people who believe in Jesus Christ. That's what faith in him gives to us. We're not saved because of all the years of experience in the church under our belts, right? We're not saved for any other human, earthly wisdom reason like that. But we are saved simply because we know, we love, we trust our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm sure some of you have noticed that that becomes harder to do the older you get. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ doesn't get easier as time goes on. In fact, as we grow older, just like as Solomon grew older, there's more and more temptation out there to sort of abandon the wisdom of our childhood and to be more open-minded and inclusive and water down the scriptures so that we can be friendly with the rest of the world. But if we do that, if we don't fight against that, then we actually are in danger of going down the same kind of path that Solomon went down, where we would be led astray by the wisdom of the world. There's a reason why Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, that unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. We need to always cling to the wisdom of our childhood. Or if you came to faith later in life, then it's the wisdom of your personal spiritual infancy, whatever age you happen to be at the time. But what we all need is the wisdom of a 12-year-old. And I'm not talking about the ones on YouTube. 12-year-old like the one in our gospel reading today. Right? The one who's in the temple. The one who is filled with divine wisdom that goes way beyond his earthly years, because he has all of the perspective and divine wisdom of the eternal Son of God. He's no ordinary 12-year-old. He is able to do things that Solomon would never be able to do. Jesus is able to do things that you and I struggle to do each and every day. He took the wisdom of this world and he flipped it upside down on its head. He chose people that the world would never choose. The weak, the lowly, the outcasts of society. And not only did he spend time with them, but he healed them. He blessed them. And he chose as his disciples fishermen and tax collectors and Hoyletonians of all people. He has chosen us. He has willingly suffered for us. He died for us upon the cross. He went through all of that for sinful people that never, ever deserved it. He loves you. He loves me. There's nothing humanly wise about that whatsoever. But it's just like St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that God chose the foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what was weak in the world to shame the strong. So when you are mocked and ridiculed, and when you're called a fool for the things you believe by people who think that they know it all, you can know that Jesus was seen the same exact way as the rest of the world. And like him, and only by Jesus' grace, are we filled with a different kind of wisdom, a divine wisdom that goes beyond our years, goes beyond our earthly years, right? It goes into heaven. It's a heavenly wisdom. It's an eternal wisdom. It's greater even than the wisdom of Solomon. And by faith, it's all yours in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We had a number of prayer updates this week, and in case you didn't have a chance to worship with us for New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, I'm going to go ahead and highlight some of these for you now. First of all, up in care facilities, we are continuing to pray for Bob and Laverne Thorson. They've kind of been bouncing back and forth different places. They were hospitalized. They were back home for a time. But now, both Bob and Laverne have gone together to the Carlisle Healthcare Center, so they're going to be there at that nursing home for the foreseeable future, still hoping to come back home at some point. So we'll certainly pray for them that they both get stronger. Under hospitalized, we continue to pray for Linda Renth. That's Mary Beth Sudmeyer's mom. She's been fighting both cancer and COVID simultaneously. Not listed in the bulletin is Lorna Grody. She's been hospitalized this past week as well. She's been fighting an infection. It is not COVID-19. She does not have the virus, but it's a different infection that she's been fighting. And so certainly pray for her to get stronger. Under ongoing health needs, we have included in our prayers Norma Tucker. Norma is undergoing testing and will be undergoing treatment for possible kidney cancer. So please pray for Norma. Also, we have been praying for Reba Deke. That's the grandmother of Frankie Warren. She was in the hospital for COVID, got over that, but then she had a really, really bad fall in the hospital last week and ended up passing away last Wednesday. So please keep Frankie and her family in your prayers. The last thing that I wanted to mention is a prayer of thanksgiving for the wedding of Donovan and Kelly Holly, which took place yesterday. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that your Son, the eternal Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Extend his praise into all the world, that many more with us would come to hope in his steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us in Christ, your beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Preserve your church by the preaching of the gospel of salvation and the seal of the promised Holy Spirit in baptism. Raise up among us faithful preachers to the praise of Christ's glory until we acquire the inheritance promised us in him. Be especially with all of our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Hans Trinklein in South Korea, and also our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran Church in Nashville and TSJ Lutheran School. Bless them, especially during their time of senior pastor vacancy, bless the efforts of Pastor James Miller as he continues to lead them in the interim. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, you gave to your servant Solomon unsurpassed wisdom to rule your people Israel, chiefly the wisdom that begins in fearing you. Give to the leaders and elected officials of our nation wisdom for their task to discern between good and evil and to govern this people in peace and quietness. Be gracious to preserve our president, our governor, and all legislators and judges. And continue to watch over those who serve our nation in the armed forces, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the blessings of this past year and ask for your continued favor in this new year now begun. Especially be with those among us who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Brooke, Joey, Norman, Cindy, and James. We also thank you for the gifts of marriage and family. Bless Donovan and Kelly Holly, whom you brought together in marriage yesterday, and help them to grow in love for each other and for you each and every day. Bless also all of those who are celebrating anniversaries, including Norman and Sharon Caston. May your love fill our homes and our hearts through faith in your Son. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, give patience and endurance to all who are sick or in any need, especially those who have requested our prayers, including those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, Brian, Bob, Laverne, and Betty. We lift before you Don, who is recovering from recent surgery, also Linda and Lorna, who have been hospitalized, and those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Norma, Cheryl, Amy, Sam, Janelle, Ronnie, Beulah, Janet, Alma, Carlene, Richard, Teddy, Verdell, Leon, Marvin, Daryl, Todd, Matthew, Jean, all those who are fighting cancer, and all those who have been affected by the coronavirus. Heal them all according to your will. Give comfort and hope to all who mourn, especially the family and friends of Reba Deek. Remind them daily of your great promises of heaven and eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Just a reminder that if you brought a tithe or an offering this morning, those can be placed in the basket in the narthex on your way out of the sanctuary. We will now sing our offertory hymn, which is Children of the Heavenly Father.
Thank you.
Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. You may be seated. The closing hymn today is Lord of All Hopefulness. This time we will invite our Sunday school students and teachers to dismiss over to the school. Good morning. Just a few announcements for you as we now head into this new year together, the 2021st year of our Lord. Today is the day. If you had donated a poinsettia, we would like to invite you to take those home with you today. The Christmas season does last a few more days, but this is the final public worship service being offered during Christmas this year. So you can certainly feel free to come up and grab those as you leave today. If you're watching this at home and you want to take it later, then we are going to make sure that the building is open during office hours all this week. So anytime between 8 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon, if you want to come into the building and take your poinsettia at that time, you are certainly invited to do so. Tuesday evening is our ladies' aid meeting. So ladies, mark your calendar for 7 o'clock, and that will be in the activity center with a little bit of extra social distancing happening. And then looking ahead to a few other things coming up. So starting next Tuesday, January 12th, we are going to have a Bible study in here in the sanctuary again, 7 o'clock. The first session of that study is actually going to be a recap and a conclusion of the study that we were doing back in November, the death, heaven, resurrection, and new creation study. Our final session got cut off back then because we had some scheduling issues right around Thanksgiving. So we're going to finish up and conclude that study, and then starting on the 19th then, we're going to have a 4-week study of the epistles of St. John. So 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, we're going to cover those in 4 weeks. So you're invited to come and join us Tuesday evenings at 7 o'clock, starting on the 12th. And if you can't join us in person, you can certainly watch online because we are now live streaming those Bible studies, which is a wonderful blessing. Also, coming up later in the month, way later in the month, on the last day of the month, the 31st, is going to be our annual meeting. So we want you to be aware of that, mark your calendar for that, 1 o'clock in the afternoon on that Sunday. But the reason why I'm bringing it up now is because we are in need of annual reports, so anybody who is serving on a board or is going to have a report to give to the congregation, if you could please turn those in by January 15th, that will give Jane enough time to put them all together and mail them out to the congregation so that everybody's got the information they need with plenty of time before the actual annual meeting takes place. So just be aware of that. And the last thing that I wanted to say today is we are still continuing with our suspension of public communion. However, we are inviting you to come if you would like to have private communion with yourself or with your family. If you just make an appointment with me, call the office during the week. We would love to be able to offer that to you. And the elders are going to be getting together a week from tomorrow and reevaluating and discussing. So keep your ears open for any possible changes to that current policy. If you have any questions or comments about that, you can certainly talk to me or one of the elders. I think that's all I had. Are there any other comments or announcements? Okay, if not, I pray that you have a very merry rest of your Christmas season. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We're blessed to have you join us for worship today. Please join us again next Sunday.
Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.